Well, one of the issues, of course, is the TKIs and the role in these patients and where it sort of fits in the algorithm. And, of course, EGFR testing. And, of course, your center's done some sentinel work in that regard. Can you talk a little bit about that whole arena, the enriched population, non-smokers, mutations, et cetera, and where we are today with that?
Right. You know, in the second and third line setting, it's not all that important because the patients, you know, have failed chemotherapy and they're going to get a TKI almost no matter what. Where it really matters is in the first line setting, and it's going to matter even more in the adjuvant setting. If you have a population where you reduce the hazard rate of death by half, hazard ratio of 0.5, that's going to have a significant impact on cure rate in early stage disease. And so where that testing is really important is going to be in early stage and in first line treatment. Hopefully we'll get to the point like breast cancer, when you first have a diagnosis, you get the biologic properties of the tumor, and so you know what they are. And I think we're going to be there within 5 years. I don't think it's going to take us 10 years to actually get there. Now, there's no question, if you had a single clinical feature to pick, you would pick never smoking. And that's because EGFR mutations, EGFR gene amplification, are the highest in that group, and KRAS mutations almost never occur in never smokers. Personally, I think that skin rash and clinical features are probably not going to be the best way to select patients for any treatment. They may enrich patients for some biologic feature, but then if they're just enriching for the biologic feature, why not do the biologic feature? Because there's clearly smokers who have unbelievable benefit, and there's clearly never smokers who don't. So why not do the biologic testing?
What do we know about the response to TKIs in non-smokers who don't have mutations?
If they have high gene copy number, they're going to do well. And that's a considerable
suppose
fraction.
They don't.
They're not likely to do well.
We have now, data to know that?
Yeah, well, we have data, but you're talking about, well, if you were looking at gene copy number, there's probably about a third of the patients that would be negative. So you're talking about a third of 20%. So you're not talking about, we have huge numbers, but it appears that even in never smokers, the biologic features can predict.
Can you kind of review where we are in terms of testing? You mentioned copy number, FISH, that you all have done so much interesting work on, mutation analysis, et cetera. Where are we right now? Where do you think we're going to be in a couple of years?
The interesting thing is these tests are available at many commercial laboratories now, and they're not ordered as much as you might think. And that's because in lung cancer, when people have their original diagnostic biopsies, the pathologists are not routinely sending it off the way they are. And the clinician isn't thinking about, in general, using the TKIs in the first-line setting. And so the tests aren't getting done, even though they're out there commercially. Now, we have a study where patients have their tumor tested, and then they're randomized, if they're positive, to erlotinib alone or erlotinib alternating with chemotherapy. Okay, so if these patients who are on TKIs for 4, 5, 6 years, they never stop. They never go off for side effects. They wouldn't even dream of it. If you could identify those patients in the beginning and they didn't get chemotherapy, if you said to a patient, I got a pill for you, or I got chemotherapy, okay, and 5 years from now you're still going to be on the pill and not have had any chemotherapy, or I'm going to give you chemo now, they'd all pick the pill. And they'd say, well, we're going to get better chemotherapy and less toxic chemotherapy 5 years from now when I need it. So we are back where tamoxifen was years ago. The TKIs in people who are sensitive arrest cells in G1. Okay, chemotherapy, most of them, taxanes, are killing cells in G2M. It's not a good thing to be giving them at the same time. So the question is, should they be given sequentially? That's what happened in breast. But there's that question that was asked in breast. If you could arrest cells in G1, take them off the drug, get them to start cycling, would you actually get a better effect by alternating them? And that question really needs to be answered.
It was the old Mark Lipman study, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
When he gave him
estrogen. It didn't work, right. But it's the same theory here. Maybe it won't work either, but it really should be tested before it's discarded.